Okay, we're back, and we're going to be talking about Windows 10 and how it kind of fits into the education sector in a little bit more detail. So I'm joined by Craig Ashley, who's going to cover this off with us. So Craig, Windows 10, education, whereabouts is that actually going to fit together?
It's a great question, and I was just saying to Simon ahead of time, with the great sessions that we've had before, what are we going to talk about now? Mm-hmm. But when we look at the education space, the messaging and the focus and the investments that we're looking at there are different. And we want to pivot those differently mm-hmm. because some of the specific investments in security and management absolutely make sense in education, mm-hmm. but we want to talk to the education audience. And so when we typically think of the value proposition around Windows 10, we think of it across three areas. We think of it in terms of better learning outcomes mm-hmm. because in education specifically, at the end of a year, it's progress that students have made. And there's a lot of great value prop there from a Windows perspective. Mm. Then the second pivot, which is important in the education space, is affordable devices and solutions. So having something that competes well and fits with budgets, the budgetary process in education. And then finally, when we talk about it, we focus on the management and deployment. And I think Michael hit some of those key areas.
Yeah.
But the simplicity piece that he'd focus on is absolutely important to the educational space. K-12 very specifically.
Yeah, I was talking to some guys here at the conference, and one of the things that they were kind of saying is they've got to deploy Windows out to 40,000 devices across their school ecosystem, and they have to currently reimage those machines very, very regularly. And
correct.
They need this kind of thing, so they're kind of excited by it.
Absolutely, and certainly one of the big differences in K-12 education is they don't have the massive IT departments that an enterprise customer has. And so simplifying the deployment process to simplify the imaging, some of the things Michael may have talked about with runtime configuration are absolutely important to those customers so that they can deploy those 40,000 with possibly limited staff.
Yeah, because sometimes it is actually the teacher that's doing the deployment, and that's the reality of that particular situation.
It is. And anything we can do in the education space to simplify it for an IT generalist or to simplify it for a teacher mm-hmm. or to take the responsibility out of the teacher's hands to determine the best way to use technology in the classroom and make it simple and intuitive, that's absolutely what we're focusing on for the Windows 10 launch as we get there.
So as we start to think about education, it actually does come down, you hit it really square today. It becomes about the devices, the different form factors that are available. What kind of things are we seeing in that particular space? What kind of, we're obviously seeing different form factors emerge.
Absolutely. And you know, a number of years ago, education was very focused on tablets, really across the board. And then as we continue to move forward, and educational institutions have looked at, my students, depending where they are in the grade range, have different needs from a device perspective. They're looking at the Windows ecosystem to help fit in there. Mm-hmm. And so the message from a Windows perspective currently with Windows 8, as well as we roll into Windows 10, is that we do have that great device ecosystem. And so for kindergartners or first graders or second graders, where touch is a great scenario for them, a Windows tablet's fantastic, especially a low-cost Windows tablet. And as they transition into learning handwriting, what better platform than Windows with great inking
yeah.
and OneNote and yeah. to be able to write in cursive and take notes in cursive, you know, from a platform perspective. And then as we raise up in grades, 2-in-1s are fantastic because they come with keyboards and productivity capabilities of being able to do true typing. Mm-hmm. So having that range of devices at a variety of price points is certainly important for the education space.
And what kind of things do we actually expect people to start to do a little bit differently there inside of kind of the ecosystem moving forward? We've got if we think about some of those devices and we think back to Windows 8.1, we introduced mm-hmm. some methods where leaner builds are going to be a possibility.
Right.
And presumably those kind of things are going to carry forward in times of investment.
Yeah, and the leaner builds is certainly important in the education space because that plays into the device and the specifications of the device specifically. And over the past several months, we've had OEMs who have talked about tablets and laptops, the HP Stream that came out around $200, which is getting down to a very competitive price point for productivity.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely important to get to the price point that's necessary, but still provide the capabilities that Windows provides that students need and educators need to be successful.
So what kind of things are we actually thinking inside of Windows 10 that are specific for the education space?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start maybe talking about probably my favorite area that we're focused on from a Windows 10 perspective. And this is something that teachers certainly ask for, And educators in the classroom do a great job of classroom management. It's what makes them great educators, and it's what principals and administrators look for in that space. And what they typically do from a classroom management perspective is manual a lot of the time. So if we think of an idea of taking a post-it note and getting two great ideas from a student at the end of it, a formative assessment or other types of assessment, these are manual processes today. And with Windows 10, we're focusing on building a classroom orchestration set of APIs that partners, vendors, testing companies can connect into. So a teacher will be able to do things like push content through this. They'll be able to take those formative assessments. They could do things like share a student screen through Miracast, like we do with Windows 8.1 today, to a front screen, or check in on devices and see what students are doing on those. So there'll be that set of APIs that our partners can build to build those value-added processes. And I don't know if you knew this, I was a teacher for 5 years in fifth grade.
I did not know that, actually.
And so my biggest thing was integrating the technology and using it effectively, not just for productivity, but managing the little daily things in a simple fashion. And so purely as having been a teacher, that's very exciting to me. A technology that's coming in the 10 time frame.
Yeah, I've got friends that are teachers as well, and obviously I don't teach kids, but I do a large number of technical events, and that's
absolutely
essentially the same kind of thing.
Same thing as children running around.
Yeah, very 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 similar. It's just in a hands-on lab and very very similar. So I think it's kind of cool that we're going to have this ability for teachers to be able to actually interact and see what the kids are working on, and to be able to make the actual sharing inside of the classroom more, I guess, familiar and natural for the kids to be able to work with.
Absolutely. It moves purely beyond productivity for the student and helping teachers be effective and efficient in the classroom.
So you mentioned that we're starting to see ISVs kind of, we're thinking about this from an ISV point of view. How can they start to begin to integrate with this? I presume we're having very early conversations with them at the moment to start down that pathway. It's not something
correct
that they can go and start building right now, and that every kind of ISV that wants to go and do that can go and grab it the code and do it right now.
Correct. Absolutely. There's a process, you know, similar to other things when we bring partners in to get them on board and to work through things. Yeah. You know, similar processes, if I think to the Windows 8.1 timeframe when we thought about inbox VPNs. Mm-hmm. You want to bring some partners in. You want to get them on board. You want to get them testing, utilizing the API sets. Get them excited about the possibilities, too, of what will be coming in Windows 10. So there's certainly work all around that to make that successful as we roll forward.
So outside of just that collaboration aspect, what else do you think is going to really land well from a Windows 10 point of view?
Sure. You know, there's obviously the standard things of why Windows is great for education today. Inking, we mentioned. There's the productivity pieces of being able to do multitasking, having split screens. If I think of what Joe B showed in the keynote yesterday of having quadrant snap, a teacher being able to project wirelessly and roam around the classroom and have multiple things on the screen happening at the same time. They might have what Craig is doing in one quadrant over in the corner, and then they may have the other things that they're doing. So that productivity aspect continues to get better from a Windows perspective in the classroom as well.
And I guess all of the other investments that we're making around identity, for example, actually also really help here as well, because we need to, when you start to move up the age stack with kids in school, they actually start to do homework. So
absolutely,
they're going to be working in multiple locations. They're going to become mobile workers, essentially.
Absolutely. And that's typically where we would lead with an education and a Microsoft and a Windows perspective, is talking about different learning styles and different places where students are going to learn today. There's a great idea of the flipped classroom. And in education, in traditional education, if we think where we were at college level and back in elementary, the teacher would deliver the presentation, the content, the lecture in the classroom, and then we would go do home and do homework learning, which is how you solidify the learning process. Flipped classrooms work in the reverse. The student will have the capabilities, that may be a lecture through Office Mix, and they will do that at home. They can take their Windows device home, they can connect through the network, or they may have stored it locally and be able to process it there as well, and they'll do that piece of the learning. And then when they come into school, they'll be able to talk to the teachers and the other students and make meaning out of that. And Windows devices fit really well in that. They work very well today, but with Windows 10, you know, we're making some investments to continue that by broadening the affordability of devices in a one-to-one setting, which is important for that. So there's those different learning styles that the devices and the capabilities fit well with as well.
And in terms of kind of where we are today with Windows 8.1 and education, what are the kind of some of the features that we're seeing with Windows 8.1 that are actually landing really well inside of education?
Yeah, so the Windows 8.1 pieces that work well in Windows 8, I keep saying inking, but yep. That it's a big one. It's yep. a leading point to go with there. Certainly, there, you know, you hear around in different environments that there may be a lack of apps in the store. Education is a space where there. We don't have significantly that problem.
Yeah.
There are really a lot of applications in the Windows Store for education customers to take advantage of today. Now, as we think of that capability, which is great in Windows 8 and 8.1, you mentioned identity, mm-hmm. and we haven't talked about store, but having Azure Active Directory as the identity for students and the capabilities that are coming forward in Windows Store to be able to download and use free apps and to volume purchase and utilize those free apps will allow educational institutions to better utilize those applications today. Really, one of the other leading stories in Windows 8.1 isn't necessarily a Windows story, it's a Microsoft story, OneNote.
Yeah.
OneNote is a fantastic application for both teachers and students to take notes, to collaborate in real time, regardless of if they're in the same classroom or if they're at home collaborating from different locations. Skype, again, isn't a Windows 8.1 technology, but being able to use a nice device with the camera capabilities with Skype, you know, are a great collaboration tool. So there's a lot of pieces around Microsoft that are fantastic for education that integrate with Windows 8 and 8.1 that make a great value prop in this space.
Yeah, we do get lots of people coming to us and saying, hey, FreshPaint is the best application that we've ever seen for kids to be able to draw on.
And absolutely.
You know, we're starting to see Windows being used not just in, obviously, in kind of the traditional classes you'd expect, but it comes into art classes, it comes into a variety of other different places inside of the classroom. And it's a difficult thing. One of the things that we have to remember as we start to move forward with making Windows this familiar operating system mm-hmm. is that familiarity actually affects every single person that uses it. So they might be the teacher who actually also happens to be the IT person inside of the school.
Right.
And that level of familiarity is something that does have to land in multiple different locations. So we start to see that these are different points come in and draw together to basically make the whole Windows ecosystem.
Absolutely. And that really is in the education space. And why we talk differently in education is because we really do pull in a lot of those different pieces yeah. to tell that story for education because it's important. And it's important that it's a singular story wrapped together for them. Mm-hmm. So as we continue to roll forward, those are important points to continue to work with our other One Microsoft brethren and simplify those processes, integrating them together and yeah. pulling them together and making them work well together.
One of the things that we can do at this point, if there are any questions, is take a few questions from the live stream if they do come in. So please start to ask them, and we'll have them appear along the session as they come in. Where else do you think that we're going to start to see Windows 10 get used? Do you think we're going to start to see some other interesting verticals come in, different places that we're going to start to see Windows 10 appear?
Other than education?
Yeah.
You know, I think from an overall perspective, and I don't know if Brad covered some of this, you know, in terms of where Windows 10 is heading, but when we think of education is an interesting one from a usability perspective because it has the consumer bent to it as well. Mm-hmm. All of the students are consumers. They take devices home, the devices they're using, the parents see those, the parents may use those. So, you know, the aspects that we're talking about and the value and the pieces to get the devices into education are important because at the end of all this, it's the consumer story as well. They're going to be consumers. So the experience that we want to provide them has to be fantastic from a Windows 10 perspective. Even if it's not an education message or an enterprise message, they need to love the device, the experience that they're having as well. So that's certainly something we keep in the back of our mind as we're looking at this.
Cool. So in terms of some of the other kind of investment areas that we've also seen, if we think about security and the way that security mm-hmm. applies specifically to education, any thoughts there on some of the enhancements that we've actually got and how they're going to affect schools?
Yeah, absolutely. And in education, if we split it into a couple different areas, if we think K-12, there's specific requirements for security. And then if we look at higher ed, there's certainly specific pieces as well. A lot of what Chris talked about resonates very well at that higher ed, the collegiate level, the post-secondary level. They typically have some IT staffs that are focused on delivering some of those, the data protection capabilities. When we pull that discussion back into the K-12 area, we start thinking about things like online safety and managing the settings for Internet Explorer. Where are they going to? So it's a little bit of a different focus there. We look into the ability to track device assets. You know, there are requirements around the world. If a device is lost in education, it has to be tracked, and you have to be able to take care of it. So those are some things we specifically look at within this space as well. And then certainly the simple manageability of those. So being able to manage all of those pieces, looking at it from a classroom teacher perspective, but also making sure that it's manageable through some of our partners like Intune, you know, are certainly important aspects as well. So whereas in the K-12 space, I wouldn't go in and pitch directly, you know, some of the revolutionary security aspects that Chris is talking about. They may like to hear it. That might just not be top of mind, you know, from what they're focusing on.
It's probably going to be quite hard to get kids at the K-12 level to actually enter a password, let alone being able to do multi-factor authentication. They're probably going to have to apply, you know, a certain level of sensibility to what they're doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those are all great things. And as we continue to progress, you know, it's kind of baby steps. Get some pieces in there and then progress to others as they're required.
So what about when we start to think about beyond the security and the manageability? Mm-hmm. We've obviously also got thoughts. We've talked a little bit about how to make things familiar as well. There's also kind of other areas that we think about when we're pulling windows together.
Sure. So and that's a big aspect that we typically talk to educational institutions as well, is the familiar aspect of users who, you know, maybe on XP still.
Yep.
There's a lot of that in the public sector, which is in education.
Yep.
And so we need to look at that. And we need to provide them a familiar experience from XP, Vista, or 7 in the Windows 10 timeframe. But there's a lot of the education deployments out there that have deployed Windows 8.1, mm-hmm. and they like the touch capability, so it needs to be familiar and have a usability experience there, which Windows 10 will. So having that range, or as Joe called it, kind of a continuum of capabilities, is absolutely important. The administrator might need a desktop, the staff might need a desktop, but again, being able to move between devices or moving from a lab that has a desktop experience and be familiar, usability across a tablet as well is certainly important and a big aspect of what we talk to them about and so they're excited about as well.
It's what are the kind of conversations that actually happen when you go and talk to educators? We've been having a few come into Microsoft to talk through things. What other areas do they kind of immediately pull out and go, this is something that's important to us?
Yeah, so I would say there's two separate discussions that we have. There's more a decision maker focus, mm-hmm. where you're talking to the superintendent or the director of curriculum or the director of technology. And they're focused on, how do I get my teachers to use the devices, mm-hmm. once I've purchased them and I've put them in there? How can I do it at a good budget? And then what will be the student outcome? It's typically called adequate yearly progress, but you have to show progress each year for students. And if technology isn't helping in that at that decision level, then it's not a good piece. So when we look at the decision maker focus, we focus on the familiar experience, we focus on the productivity pieces, we focus on the apps that are available, handwriting, which handwriting helps the learning process, whereas simply tapping around your note-taking with handwriting, lessons learned, and you can see that students are doing drawings and making meaning out of things. When we flip that over to the technology side of the discussion, then we get into more of the tactical pieces, which would be more similar to an enterprise discussion. They want to know how we're simplifying deployment, how we're simplifying management, how we're going to make their life simpler, how we're going to, in the United States, provide organizational access to the Windows Store, mm-hmm. and not rely on Microsoft accounts. So we focus down more in the depths of how we're simplifying their deployment, mm-hmm. and how we're going to continue to make that easier for them to manage on an ongoing process.
And I guess the move to not necessarily need a Microsoft account is probably something that really is resonating very well, particularly with that K-12 level of education, because it's kind of hard, well, and also technically voids a couple of the agreements to have that level of education actually signing up for, say, an Outlook.com account.
Correct. Correct. And it's even tougher in the United States and some other countries as well. We have a requirement called the COPPA requirement. Mm-hmm. And if you're 13 or under, a parent has to approve it. So there's an approval process as well because it's a personal identity. Mm-hmm. So OrgID will help that. The other nice thing for education, our huge push is Office 365, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. They've been making some announcements here as well about what's available. But OrgID is the organizational ID that's part of O365 as well. Yeah. So having that set up for the students, you've got an organizational identity infrastructure, which you'll be able to take advantage of for Windows 10. So there's a great collaborative effort between those two pieces.
Yeah, and it actually is going to make things a lot easier when all those identities do come together. When your students are just signing on with their Office 365 email address, it is actually going to make things so much simpler from the teacher's point of view. They're not going to have to manage multiple identities if they are actually doing the admin, but they're also just going to be able to see their students' document submissions together. They're going to be able
Absolutely.
To see what's happening on when they're looking at their classroom. They're going to be able to get a more holistic picture. I guess a picture that's probably more akin to when kids used to write everything into a notebook at school and used to have different books or different things. We're going to get them back to that kind of place.
Exactly. And, you know, Office 365, and OneNote, we've talked about it a couple times. There are some incredible things that education groups are doing with OneNote to do exactly that. It is the notebook
yeah.
for the classroom. And each page could be specific to a student. The teacher could have their lockdown page where they're keeping track of things. Homework is turned in through the OneNote process, and the teacher can grade it and take care of it that way. And that happens down at the lower grades as well as up through a middle school, which would be like a 5, 6, 7, 8, up through high school areas or secondary education as well. It's a very great way to keep track of lesson plans and to have the flow back and forth between the students.
Yeah, and it's good because you can also, within Office 365, we can see who's actually making comments inside there. So if you've got multiple teachers looking through the same notebook, then they're actually going to be able to make comments on different parts of the structure of that notebook.
Absolutely.
The student will be able to see which teacher, which lecturer has actually made which comments. And it starts to make a more collaborative process with the student teacher.
It does, absolutely. And I wish I had some of those when I was teaching,
because
it would have simplified the process of lesson planning and being collaborative amongst teachers, but also with the students as well.
Yeah, so it just starts to, I think that the whole idea is to make computing and education feel more natural as part of the overall end-to-end kind of plan for how we envisage a classroom to move going forward. I guess also when we start to think about those, we see these kind of this continuum of devices things that we've been saying.
Right.
Some of those higher end, we keep seeing the 81-inch screen, which is a PPI device. Let's be completely honest. And they are relatively expensive, but we are starting to see them in those collaborative kind of classroom environments as well.
We do. You know, and it's it's sometimes surprising, you know, when you come into some schools and you do see those, but those are fantastic for collaboration. And when you sit back and you look at something as simple as a smart board, which have been in schools for some time, and you put that up against what something like a PPI can do, where you're taking notes on it and you're doing things in real time, the capabilities there are fantastic. But even if you simply step back and you look at projectors, a lot of classrooms today have something as simple as a digital projector. Mm-hmm. And being able to connect to that or use the wireless capabilities. I was talking to a K-12 institution in California, and they were incredibly excited about Meerkat. The curriculum developer told me the ability to unlock my teacher from standing in front of the classroom and simply lecturing to being able to take their device and move around the classroom and check in on what students are doing and still being projecting to the screen is an incredible capability. So it's even down in some simple things like that, which really change the way that educators can work throughout the day and gets the administrators excited about it as well.
And we also see lots of people wanting to introduce kind of various different aspects of programming into the classroom as well. Again, those things are going to start to feel more familiar. They're going to have another operating system where they can go and learn new APIs, new things that they can go and actually investigate around that as well. One of the places that we start to see that, and again, it's one of those things that we always see inside of the continuum diagrams, we
right.
always see an Xbox. We always see the operating system running on Xbox as well. And those are particularly kind of interesting inside of an educational environment as well.
Absolutely. When we think across all of their devices, you know, you have all the Windows devices. You mentioned you have the Xbox device. Mm-hmm. You have all of the Internet of Things all running on that kind of common one core. And Joe B. detailed a little bit of what that means in the you know, in the keynote the other day, that is certainly exciting, having that universal app platform, which can run across some of those capabilities as well. There's certainly an effort starting and moving forward to have what's being called gamification in education. Students today, and I think of this, you know, 35 years ago when I was in kindergarten, students sat in rows, the teacher lectured. Students have changed kind of how they're wired today. They're digital. They come home and they do a bunch of things. Capturing their attention for amounts of time is tough to do. And from an education perspective, we have to roll and evolve with that. And having a game which is a learning game to do that is incredible. And having something like that be able to work across devices or with Kinect, where we can have kinesthetic learners in the classroom take advantage of it, is certainly an exciting proposition in the education space.
So we're coming into the last couple of minutes of this conversation. Any kind of ways that you kind of suggest that educators go and start to take a look at things? I guess we don't really want to see educators actually running Windows 10 on their main machines trying to deliver a class. That's probably going to be a bad place to go.
Yeah, it's certainly similar to what we've said on the Insider Preview program, you know, for other people as well. We would like IT staffs, even teachers, to be able to try and start using and become familiar with Windows 10 on a secondary device, on a device that's not going to be the primary one in the classroom, and to start looking at some of these pieces. Along the lines of a lot of what the previous speakers have talked about and I've talked about today, some of the stuff we're talking about aren't in the build yet, so they won't be able to take full advantage of it. But getting that familiar experience and learning it, and certainly providing feedback. Send in, I'd love to see this. This would make my job so much easier as an improvement into the Insider Preview program, you know, would be fantastic as well.
Yeah, that is the kind of stuff that that's the reason that the preview is out there. It's the reason that we're trying to get this feedback, get it starting to roll in, and get as much as we can as possible. And we've got something like I think there's over 1 million users of the preview program that we've announced. And
it's incredible.
It's become absolutely phenomenal, right?
And we've got a mobility booth here and Windows booth back there, which is right next to the Insider Preview program setup. I don't know if you've seen it back there, but they can come in and sign up. And aside from getting one of those beautiful T-shirts,
we still don't know what the T-shirt says.
It's been massive back there. Yeah. I mean, there have been people standing in line signing up for it. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see that level of excitement out there.
Yeah, and it is kind of cool. What kind of questions have people been coming up to you and kind of asking you? Is there a bunch of things which are really like easy stuff to just throw out there and answer?
Yeah, I mean, the one of the biggest things they want to see, even though they've seen demos, they want to get a hands-on of some of the user experience things if they haven't signed up and downloaded and started using it yet. Some of the other things that's interesting, if we think about the other things they're asking for, some of the enterprise features, kind of stepping away from education in the booth. Windows to Go is a huge hit back at the booth back there. We've got some devices up there, and people are loving to come back and talk about it and see what's happening. So the general interest in enterprise features that are in the enterprise set are a big hit back there as well.
Yeah, I think certainly things like the Windows to Go approach for Windows 8.1 is working nicely. People really like that. They're really, really jumping onto it. It's working out really well for some, the more unique workloads. It's not kind of, we're not saying everybody wanted to roll Windows 8.1, Windows to Go. But the places where we are seeing it, certainly being used for lots of kind of task worker, lots of contingent worker type of solutions as
absolutely.
Well. It gets brought into those kind of places all the time. And also into some, frankly, really secure workloads as well. We quite often get pulled into those kind of conversations around how can I have a stick which is always encrypted, with asymmetric encryption
exactly.
and that kind of stuff. And from a Windows to Go point of view, we've actually had that for quite a while, for the past couple of years, really.
Yeah, we have,
From some of the vendors. Okay, so I think we're coming towards the end of the session. Last couple of minutes to go and take a look at the Windows Insider Preview program. Make sure you're signed up. Make sure you're providing feedback through user voice. And if you can work out what the message is inside of the Windows 10 T-shirt, I'm pretty sure Joe Belfiore is going to be quite interested to know if anybody can work out the message on the Windows 10 T-shirt. You'll obviously need to take a screen capture of this Channel 9 video, and you'll be able to zoom in on all of this individual detail, and then you'll be able to find out what we say. So thanks very much, and I think we've got Simon Perriman coming up with the next session.